all about me this morning, but I'm doing all the jobs today. So it's Emily, who was leading, has had to jump on a plane quickly as her dad's just had a stroke. So we're blessing her on her journey, and we're praying for her dad to have full recovery. So I need most of you know who I am. I'm Colette. If you don't know me, I'm part of the leadership team here. And I'm preaching today as well. Can I tilt this slightly? I don't want to do it without breaking it. My son to the rescue. That's it. Thank you. You got the job. Okay, so this morning I want to talk about the battle for your mind. And how breaking free from oppressive and negative thoughts, and how to live an abundant life filled with joy and peace and mental wholeness. Because a sound mind is God's will for you. I just want to read you a short testimony first before I go through my notes. So, alone in her room, Mandy stood glaring at herself in the mirror. The room, nearly swallowed in darkness, was lit only by the glow from a computer screen. The internet had not provided the escape she sought. Music was blaring in the background, turned up to drown out the thoughts and voices raging in her head. They were at it again, hurtling through her mind, one after another, with no respite. I'm ugly. I'm such a failure. Nobody loves me. Nothing ever goes right for me. Why am I even alive? I don't deserve to live. I hate my life. I just want to die. Convinced that she was an ugly, useless failure, the teenager began to withdraw from friends and family. She soon spiralled downward into a deep, dark pit of depression that closed in on her more and more each day. She tried, but she just couldn't crawl out of this black hole. It seemed as if a dark cloud had enveloped her mind, her life, and her future. Mandy began having anxiety attacks, waking up in the middle of the night to find herself suffocating and her heart pounding with unexplained fear. These attacks often landed her in the emergency room. Unable to bear all the terror and torment, she tried several times to end her life. Mandy could have ended up another suicide statistic if it was not for her brother. This is stuff that is close to my heart. So I normally get emotional when I preach, just warning you. And her brother would visit her and share with her about Jesus and invite her to church. Initially resistant, Mandy finally did go. And when she felt a strong, inexplicable desire to attend a service one Sunday, that day her life was changed forever. This she shared. That Sunday during worship, something touched me deeply and my tears just flowed. During the sermon, Jesus revealed himself to me. Previously, I just heard about him. But as they were sharing on Psalm 91, the Lord revealed his love to me. The beautiful love of a saviour who died for me, paying the price to give me abundant life. From that very day, the anxiety attacks never returned. And my heavenly psychologist, Jesus, delivered me from the suffocating grip of depression. After receiving a personal revelation of the Lord's love for her, one of the first things that Mandy noticed was that her thought life began to change. Thoughts like, I'm ugly, I'm dirty, I'm a failure, began to be replaced with thoughts like, I'm so loved by Jesus, say he died for me, and I'm his precious child. The more she began to see her true identity in the light of God's grace, the more thoughts of peace and purpose began to replace those defeatist, condemning thoughts until they lost their foothold in her mind altogether. And she said, "Now, when I look in the mirror, I see a precious child of God with a purpose to live, and this purpose is Him. His love is unfailing, and I know that He loves me despite my mistakes. I'm not perfect, I still make mistakes, but I know that my perfection is Christ. And the more I understand His finished work, the more I find I am transformed." Oh, it's good, isn't it? So many people today suffer from anxious and depressive thoughts. Thoughts that keep them down, defeated, and unable to move beyond past hurts and disappointments. Many, unknown to their friends and family, are right now dealing with defeatist thoughts like that, making them feel bad, worthless. And when they're allowed to grow and take root, these thoughts can lead down a path of perpetual insecurity, social problems, serious addictions, sicknesses, and even death. Negative thoughts bombard us all the time. Sparing none, they come uninvited, sometimes triggered by the smallest thing. For some, a word, a look, an encounter with a familiar situation that can start off a chain of dark thoughts that can escalate out of control and bring them to a fearful, lonely place. If you're struggling with negative thoughts today, to whatever degree, don't give up. The Lord knows the mental and emotional struggles you're going through, and He really wants to set you free from discouragement, depression, and defeat. He wore the crown of thorns on His head so that you can have a mind that is free from oppression. He bore the chastisement for your peace so that you can enjoy His divine wholeness and shalom, peace. The first thing you have to realize is that the battle takes place in the mind. You see, the devil doesn't have any real power, so he can only resort to lies and deception. He puts lies and half-truths in your mind to deceive you and make you believe what he wants you to believe. And he does it subtly and cunningly by using the personal pronoun I. I'm ugly. I'm a loser. I did that wrong. I'm never going to get that. I'm an addict. So you take those thoughts as your own and you believe that that's who you really are. And he plants such lies in your head to confuse you about your identity. So the battle is not so much out there with your spouse, your boss, your colleagues, or even the failing economy. It is in your mind. Your mind is the enemy's preferred battleground, and the thoughts are his weapon of choice. Margaret Thatcher, most of you know who she is or was, well-known former Prime Minister, said this: "Watch your thoughts. Your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. Watch your habits, for they become your character. And watch your character, because it becomes your destiny. So what we think, we become." That made me think of Luke 6, 45, that says, "Out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks." Paul tells us, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Romans 12:2. we are to renew our minds with God's truths and not continue to think the way the world thinks or the way the devil wants us to think. The soul comprises the mind, will, and emotions. And if you want your health, family life, career, ministry, all things to flourish, then you need to prosper there first. Jesus said that if you have good treasure in your heart, you will bring forth good things. So it's important to fill our hearts and minds with the good treasure of God's new covenant promises instead of the junk of the world. Then we can bring forth good things in our lives. If we allow lies and other bad stuff to come in, then the results are depression, anxiety, fear, cynicism, paranoia, etc., etc. The lies and negative things that we believe and dwell on become strongholds, and strongholds form the habits and eventually shape our lifestyles. For example, if you believe that being in a crowded shopping centre will trigger another frightening anxiety attack, then you will form the habit of avoiding shopping or crowded places. And I know about this personally because I had 5 years of crippling anxiety where I couldn't even drive up the road just through fear. I didn't know the Lord then, but the enemy was robbing my days and my years, and it just all blended into this horrible, horrible darkness. If you believe the saying, once an addict, always an addict, then you will tend to reject any offer help or actually think, well, that actually won't work. But I believe that as well. I lived with an addict and I thought, you know, well, that's never going to change. And, you know, you just, the world gets us accustomed to thinking in negative ways. If your parents and teachers tell you that you're stupid or useless and you believe them, you will see yourself as a failure with no future. You won't see any point in applying yourself. Because what's the point? You won't realise or discover the giftings that God has put in your life, nor will you see any point in cultivating a good work ethic. But what does God say about you? What does his word say? My key scripture for today was 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5. And this has really given me a revelation personally in my own life. Now, see, I'm talking about stuff and I'm mentioning anxiety and depression and etc. But, you know, we all have stuff that goes through our head that is negative and maybe stops us doing stuff. You know, it doesn't have to be to one extreme. The little things are that, you know, they're things as well that chip away at us. Oh, you know, I can't do that. I'm not going to bother doing that because, you know, I'm just, you know what I mean, where I'm coming from. So don't, if you don't suffer from depression and anxiety, don't disclude yourself, because we all suffer. We all have negative thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10, I'm reading it from the message. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ. Wow. Now, I've been a Christian for 22-ish, 3 years. And you would think after this time that you wouldn't get negative thoughts. But, you know, life happens and we go along and, you know, I know when I'm reading the word and I'm reading encouraging stuff that, you know, my mind's good and I can fight off this stuff. But sometimes when I'm not doing that, one of the battles I've had all my life is with my mind. And I looked at this scripture and I thought, yeah, I know the principle, take every thought captive. I know that. But then I looked at, what was I actually doing with that? Was I just saying, okay, I'm grabbing that word and we're just sort of throwing it away and I'm not actually doing anything with it? But actually what he needs you to do is to hold that up and go, does this measure up against God? Does this measure up against what God's word says? Or even what he said to me about who I am. This is where the sophisticated arguments are. You know, all these arguments in my head, I think, oh yeah, 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 you got a point there. Really? So I feel like I've had a new revelation on it for myself personally. And yeah, if it doesn't line up with God, it doesn't line up with what I know about Jesus and what I know that he feels about me, then I'm throwing it out. And, you know, yeah, you have bad days, but I think the more you practice something, you know, it becomes more of a discipline to do. Where is it? It said about casting down arguments. I've lost my place now. Oh, so we're destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Well, the truth is what casts down arguments. And you must know this, even from general practice, if you're arguing with someone, the minute the truth's out there, you can't argue with that. You might want to just like continue a little bit because, you know, I'm a bit fiery like that and I like to have the last word, but actually I know when the truth's got me. And it is the truth. The truth is what casts down every argument. Second Timothy 1:7 says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound judgment and personal discipline. Ability, I'm reading this from the message. Abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. Well, I'd quite like all those. Thank you very much. I'm preaching to myself as much as anyone else. So let's just have a look a little bit more about the positive speak. My eldest son went into deep depression many years ago. And he tried to take his life. We called the pastor and people prayed and he started to find a way through. But I want to tell you what he did. He found all these words to songs that were positive and he put them up in his room. So everywhere he walked around the house, he could see all this stuff. He would only listen to positive things. He turned off all TV and he watched SpongeBob, didn't he? Because this constant assault on the mind, he needed something that would just, he said, I want to do stuff that I haven't got to think about. So he would watch children's programs and that would bring him some peace. And eventually he got to a place where, he's actually now not on any medication. Praise God. But he had to determine in himself that actually this is not going to beat me. So he put all those positive things in place, the positive things that he could look at. You know, for us, it's the word and the things that God has said to us, or get around people who you know will encourage you and build you up and not tear you down. And he lives by the coast now because that's where he loves to be. And is it's free and easy for him. And yeah. And it, when I looked at it, and I thought, that's a godly principle. Yeah. You know, he wasn't a Christian then. He still hasn't made a firm commitment, but he knows about God, and he still calls me to pray, which is good. And I was listening to Bill Johnson, some of you know him from Bethel Church, the other day, and he was talking about the same thing. You wouldn't imagine, you know, this speaker who goes all around the world, he says, I get my dark moments. But he said, in those dark moments are the times when I'll get out my personal prophecies. He said he's got sets of little cards, and he said he's got post-it notes in his car that are just put on the dash, where I get in there and I see, you know, yeah, I know God loves me, and all these things. I thought, wow, that's really good. So I think that there's, I want to address one thing. Because we all have a battle for the mind. But there is a real thing with depression. Where you can have a chemical imbalance, and I don't know, some people are more prone to that. But this process works for both. So eventually, you know, he was the extreme. Eventually you can get to a place where you can feel more at peace with yourself and come off medication. So I'm not saying, you know, I just want to make it really clear. I'm not saying, you know, God is the answer. This is what's going to happen today. You're going to have all lovely thoughts and pray all these things and go away and stop taking your medication. I'm not saying that at all. But I do believe that when we can sort of train our brains a bit more to believe different things, you can actually slowly develop and come off any medication. But, you know, for the rest of us who don't suffer that extreme, we still have bad thoughts go through our head that we still need to take captive. Because they don't belong there. So, how do you focus on Jesus to win the battle in your mind? Well, let's give you a couple of examples. Say you've been suffering, entertaining thoughts of shame, condemnation, worthlessness, over a past mistake or a particular area of weakness. I encourage you now to see how the price for your forgiveness and acceptance has been fully paid by the Lord. So see how you are now forgiven in Christ, Ephesians 1:7, completely accepted, loved and valuable in his sight. And when the devil tries to entangle you with thoughts of lust, envy, greed, hatred, meditate on how in Christ you have his mind, 1 Corinthians 2:16, and his thoughts that are pure, holy and noble. Meditate on what his obedience has accomplished for you and speak these truths over yourself. This is how you bring your thoughts to the obedience of Christ and counter the negative thoughts the devil plants in your head. Perhaps you have a mental stronghold that says, I'm always weak and sickly. Instead of focusing on this thought, focus on how Jesus, in his obedience to the Father and love for you, has borne all your sicknesses and diseases on the cross so that you can have divine health. Meditate on verses like Isaiah 53, 4 to 5 and say, surely Jesus has borne my diseases and carried my pains. Why does worry shout so loudly for our attention? Because if we look at it long enough, it gains our trust. And pretty soon we're praying out of fear. And we've trusted another voice. You are who God says you are in his word. There's no compromise. There's no lies in that. That is truth. As you meditate on God's promises and love for you, see yourself healthy and strong. See yourself playing sports and going on that holiday. Remember, the devil puts negative thoughts in your mind so that you will identify yourself as a sickly person, unable to enjoy life. But you are not who the devil says you are. You are who God says you are in his word. As you bring your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ this way, the Lord's life will flow into you. And you will find dead leaves of depression, low self-esteem, anxiety, hopelessness, bitterness, just simply falling off of you supernaturally. You will produce new fruits of self-control, emotional stability, peace and joy. And it will be effortless. You'll begin to live life with an expectation of good and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am deeply loved and highly favoured by the Lord. I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. God has given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind through Christ's obedience. It doesn't matter what others have said about you. Because of Jesus' obedience, you are God's righteousness and highly favoured child. You are mighty in his kingdom. You are lovely in his eyes. And you have a sound mind just like his. Let's say 6 points. I actually added a 7 point this morning. Yeah, but I'm allowed to do that. So, number one, accept responsibility for your thoughts. You have the ability to exercise control over your thoughts. And God warned Cain to focus his mind on the right things, but Cain chose to think about the wrong things, anger and jealousy, which led to his murderous actions. Number two, your mind, not just your behaviour, must change. God calls us to change sinful behaviour that does not honour and please him. And instead of focusing on your outward behaviour, work on disciplining your mind. Because that's where it all begins. Allow God to transform you by the renewing of your mind. Number three, think through your problems rather than just react to them. When you experience difficult challenges, you can react to them and think yourself into despair every time. I can do this. It's proven. Or you can look forward to the next opportunity and ask yourself what you learned from this. Is your first thought, I'll never do anything right? You don't have to get trapped by disabling thoughts. So four is take your disabling thoughts captive through confession. Turn them over to God and become who he sees you to be. 5, choose to focus your thoughts on the right things. And we just said that scripture. What is Philippians 4:8? We are to think about those things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. 6, it is possible. It is not easy to retrain your thoughts. I would love it to happen overnight. But the reality is God always wants to teach us as we go. And sometimes he can deliver us sovereignly, but most of the time I find that he actually wants us to learn a process. And quite often that is discipline. That is saying, okay, God, I know you're with me in this, so I'm going to have a go at it. And keep doing it. 7, I added this morning, which is social media. Anyone who knows me, my pet hate is, I actually am on Facebook. But my pet hate is seeing posts that are like not real. So, you know, when you're posting stuff, you don't show all your rubbish photos. You take your best photo from holiday and show that was the great one on the beach. You don't show the other bit of the holiday was, you know, we were arguing in the caravan. This is a true story. And, you know, no one knows about that apart from our close friends. It wasn't John. But there's something where we need a reality check. Because everything on social media is, oh wow, look how wonderful this is. You know, look how great I look. And, you know, selfies and I don't know all the other things, Snapchat and that my girls do, but way over my head. But that I found that there is this constant thing on, this is how you're meant to look. This is perfect. This is, you know, it's not real. It is not real. Don't go on there. If you struggle with thoughts like that, just don't go on there. Cut it out. You don't need Facebook. You can pick up a phone. You can email someone. You know, I'll talk to you. But it's one of the things that really, really irritates me. And then the opposite is when there's one thing wrong, it spreads like wildfire. So everyone is like, oh, and by the time it's got to you, it's grown 10 legs and it's not good. You know, but when you've got more of the word and God's belief in you, you can look at that stuff and actually say, you know what, that's rubbish. I'm not even listening to that. But I've found in my experience, and I've been around a lot of young people, there are more and more young people now who are suffering depression and anxiety and awful thoughts. And I believe that the root of it is social media. Because you can't get away from it. You know, years ago, I couldn't even get on the internet, let alone, you know, have a mobile phone. But it's in your face every day. So I encourage you, if you're around younger people, or if you're even, you know, like online all the time yourself, I would censor some of that, because it's a big thing now. So, and that's it, really. I just want to finish with, God said he would keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Amen.